Good morning. Our scripture text for this morning is Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Hear the word of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Once again, the word of God. The scripture verses for our message of today are from the Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And they are verses, I pray, that will be heart-searching for all of us. It is the desire of your elders, I'm sure, that every one of you here at Providence Church believes in and loves the Lord Jesus. It is their prayer that each of you has Jesus Christ in his and her heart. Our text of this morning will cause us to probe our hearts to see whether we are truly Christians, to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. I have given our message the title, A True Christian. And here are the 3 points we will cover. Number one, one may profess the Lord Jesus and not be a Christian. Number two, one may do work for the Lord Jesus and not be a Christian. Three, one is a Christian who does the will of God from her heart. Point one, from the Lord's words in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, one may profess the Lord Jesus and not be a Christian. See the first half of verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The one who truly knows Jesus Christ will profess Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, verse 32, that the ones he acknowledges before the Father in heaven are the ones who acknowledge him before men on earth. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 reads, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But having said that, it is also true one may say, Lord, Lord, and not be saved. One may have a mere verbal profession. One's Lord, Lord may simply be outward. His heart has never believed in and received the Lord Jesus. Point one, today, one may profess Jesus Christ, says the Lord Jesus himself, and not be a Christian. I would like to give you some words of J.C. Ryle that I came across as I was reading what he had to say about Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Please do listen to this quote. "It requires far more than most people seem to think necessary to save a soul. We may be baptized in the name of Christ. We may possess head knowledge and be quite satisfied with our own state. We may even be preachers and teachers of others. But do we truly repent, truly believe on Christ, and live holy and humble lives? If not, in spite of all our privileges and profession, we shall miss heaven at last." The story is told about President Abraham Lincoln that once during a bitter debate in his cabinet, he stopped to ask what seemed to be a foolish question. He asked, "How many legs would a sheep have if you say the tail is a leg?" One of the cabinet members spoke up and said, "If you say the tail is a leg, then the sheep would have 5 legs. Lincoln replied, "No, just to say the tail is a leg does not make it so. The Lord Jesus teaches us first, just to say, 'Lord, Lord,' in reference to him does not make it so. It does not necessarily mean one is a Christian." Some of us know that to be true by experience. For at one time, we said, "Lord, Lord," and we were not Christians. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus from Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. He is talking about some of the Jews and their relationships with God. And he says, once again, Matthew 15, verse 8, quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." We may honor the Lord Jesus with our lips and have hearts that are empty of him. Let me give our first point once more in this way. One may profess what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and not be a Christian. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, that's Bible. That's right on. Jesus is Lord, meaning Jesus is God. Jesus is Savior. One may say that, however, and not be a Christian. One may profess fervently with outward affection the Lord Jesus and not be a Christian. Hear the words again. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, Lord, that's fervency with affection. But not everyone who says that is saved. And one may profess Christ publicly and not be a Christian. Verse 22 contains these words, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not speak for, did we not speak of you to others?" It is not profession that saves, not even biblical, fervent, public profession. It is not profession, it is possession. I have read and heard a number of times how so many of our church young people go on to drop out of church and go away from Christ after high school. Why? It is not profession. It is possession. It is with the heart that one becomes a Christian. Receiving Jesus Christ in one's heart as one's Savior and Master. My friends, have you done that? Have you received the Lord Jesus in your heart? John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice the beginning of verse 22. "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord." We are taught here that there will be many who will make a profession of Christ, but who will not be real Christians. Especially these words are saying to us, there will be many in the church who will make a profession of Christ, but who will not be real Christians. Once again, have you received Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior and the ruler of your life? Have you acted on your knowledge? Our second point today is one may do work for the Lord Jesus and not be a Christian. See the Lord's words in verses 22 and 23 of Matthew 7. "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers." Judas Iscariot is one of the best illustrations of our second point. We read in Matthew chapter 10 that on a certain day, Jesus called his 12 disciples to himself. Judas was one of the 12. And Jesus, we go on to read, sent them out with the following instructions. These words are found in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 10. "As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." "I want you to go," said Jesus, "and minister. Judas went out and worked for the Lord. The Apostle Peter, in Acts chapter 1, verse 17, said this about Judas. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. But we know that Judas Iscariot was not a converted person. In John 12, he is called a thief. In John 13, we are told that Satan entered into him. And in John 17, in the Lord's high priestly prayer, the Lord referred to Judas as the one doomed to destruction. The Lord Jesus teaches us, second, one may do work for him. There are people working for him, doing things like helping the poor, comforting the sick, extending hospitality, serving in the church, even preaching and teaching, and yet are not really Christians. A friend of mine who was a pastor, he is with the Lord now in heaven, once took a group of young people to New York City for a trip. They stayed at a church, and the pastor of that church gave the young people lessons from the Bible during that stay. One day, the young people were touring New York City, and my pastor friend happened to see the other pastor go into an establishment that caused him concern. My friend later talked to him about that. And during their conversation, the other pastor went on to say to my friend that he was not a Christian. He knew the Christian message. He was able to give Christian lessons. He pastored a church, but he was not a Christian. I love church history. During the time of George Whitefield and John Wesley, the 1700s, I have read that there were a number of pastors in Great Britain who were not converted. One may do work for the Lord Jesus and not be a Christian. I quoted J.C. Ryle earlier. I'd like now to quote Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. I ask you once again to carefully listen. Jesus' words here in Matthew 7 teach us a basic lesson. It is possible to exercise spiritual gifts, yet be a total stranger to God's saving grace. Apparently, the astounding things men can do in public are no certain indication of where they stand in private before the judgment of Christ. What really counts is how we are related to Christ himself. That is why the gospel has so much more to say about the power of Christ changing our characters than about the power of Christ changing the course of nature. I ask, are you related to Jesus Christ, where he is your Savior and Master? Is Jesus Christ in your life? And is he changing your life? Is he working in you to put a bridle on your tongue, to be pleasant at home, to be honest in business? Is he working in you to be respectful of your teachers, to obey your parents, to control your temper, to pay your debts? Do you have love and joy, patience, self-control, kindness? In reference to this truth, one may work for Christ and not be a Christian. Let's cover this before we move on. Why would a person work for Christ who is not truly a believer? Why would one do that? There can be several answers given to this question. Let me just give us one. One may work for Christ for his own honor. One may work for Christ to gain the attention, respect, praise of people. There are those who try to get accolades for themselves through Christian service. One may work for Christ, not for Christ, but for himself, herself. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, the Lord Jesus said this about the teachers of the law and the Pharisees of his day. Matthew 23, verse 5. Everything they do is done for men to see. My wife Pat and I were in California a number of years ago attending a school of evangelism. And it was a little before someone was to speak at one of the sessions. And I noticed a group of people around the speaker. I was curious, and so I kind of moseyed on over to hear what the people were saying. And the people were praising. The people were praising the speaker for his preaching ability. And he seemed to be soaking it in. He seemed to really be enjoying what they were saying to him about him. I believe their words went to his head. And I believe he preached that afternoon to his own glory. One may work for Christ, not for Christ, but for himself, for herself. And so, my friends, let me ask you again, is Jesus Christ in your heart? Is he your Savior from sin and the Lord of your life? Are you living for him? Point three this morning is from the Lord's words in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. One is a Christian who does the will of God from her heart. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Here is the proof. Do you do the will of God from your heart? Do you do the will of God out of love for God? Your elders, I'm sure, have been faithful to say this in the past. I will say it once more now. It is not that obedience to God makes one a Christian. Galatians 2:16, know that a man is not justified by observing the law. However, one who is a Christian will do the will of God from his heart. He is a new creation. He has a new nature. He has a new Lord. He has the Holy Spirit, a fruit, a result of his salvation, is obedience from the heart. We are saved by faith alone. But the faith that saves is never alone. The Lord says to us, third of all, one is truly a Christian who loves and obeys the Lord God, the Word of God. Or, as he expresses it in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Notice with me 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Christ is returning one day. Most of us don't think about this much, but the Lord Jesus is coming back. And when he does return, all people will be gathered before him. And he will judge all of us. And Paul tells us here that the judgment of Christ as to whether we are his, as to whether we believe in him and have received him, will be according to obedience. The things done while in the body will be evidence of true conversion or not. So what is the proof of your being a follower of Christ, of my being a follower of Christ? One is a true Christian who does the will of God from her heart. One more scripture reference. In Matthew chapter 25, in the parable of the talents, to the ones who would share in the master's happiness, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. But to the one who wouldn't share in the master's happiness, he said, you wicked, lazy servant. Don't say you are a believer if you do not do the will of God from your heart. Oh, I know, not perfectly, but that is a part that is indeed your life, the will of God from your heart. I finish our third point with this. This heart obedience, I believe, is marked by these two characteristics. One, it is an unconditional obedience. We obey God, period. Christ, our example, said in John 4, verse 34, My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Notice he didn't add, if I feel like it, if it meets my approval, if it doesn't go against my plans, if it's not that difficult. No, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. We obey God, period. And two, this heart obedience is an ongoing obedience. In John chapter 8, we read that in reference to some words that Jesus spoke, many believed on him. However, to those who believed on him, he went on to say this in verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Obedience to God is also ongoing. The Lord, someone has written, is not impressed by our orthodox words. He still asks for evidence of our sincerity in good works of obedience. And so, is it true of you that by God's grace you are after the will of God from your heart? And your obedience is unconditional and it is ongoing. Is Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to examine ourselves. There is absolutely nothing greater than having you as Savior and Lord, than being a child of God. Lord Jesus, may we know the truth in reference to where we are with you. And if we see by your grace that we are indeed yours, deepen our thankfulness and deepen our assurance. And Lord Jesus, if we are convicted that no, we are not true believer, may we hear you telling us to come to you and receive you. In your kindness, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, bring us to you and enable us to receive you as Savior and Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.